Welcome to part two of this special podcast on the Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit. In this part, as promised, I will focus on the chess games of the show's protagonist, Beth Harmon. So I had an interesting challenge, but how to find the games, the high-level games played by the top players, to make sure that these games fit the description. The original story in the book.
You are listening to KasparovChess.com podcast.
I was intrigued when Scott Frank bluntly told me that he wanted chess to be a real factor in the show. He wanted chess to be presented in its entirety. He wanted chess moves to be seen on the screen. He wanted the games that have been described in great details by Walter Tevis to become an embedded part of the show. As far as I know, no one ever tried to have chess games, or even elements of the chess games, segments of the chess games, to be presented on the screen. But Scott believed that it would be very important to help opening up the characters, especially the Beth Harmon character, because her approach to the game, her concentration at the board, could be a fatal attraction of the show. And Scott was right. His intuition did not betray him. So I had an interesting challenge. Many games described by Walter Tevis in great details, talking about moves here and there, queen goes there, rook goes there, attack, defense, pin, fork. But how to find the games, high-level games played by the top players, to make sure that these games fit the description, the original story in the book. Early games were not a real problem. Bruce Pandolfini could handle it, but going up, when Beth faced professional players and all the way to the very top, to the climax of the show, the game she played in Moscow, the decisive game against Soviet world champion Vasily Borgov, many of these games needed an extra care. Extra care meant that I had to pick up games and then to call a doctor them, to use computer and to add new elements, new moves, to make sure that this new design of the game would follow Walter Tevis' narrative. First of all, I studied all these games. We split our task with Bruce, and I said I would provide choices for the key games where the book story provided us with very explicit instructions. Some of the challenges were not that hard. For instance, best game against Baltic had a queen sacrifice. Queen takes knight and a forced mate. I looked in the database, had few choices, picked up eventually an old game by two Soviet masters, Nezhmetinov and Kasparian, played in 1955. Queen takes g6, queen takes knight, and mate in several moves. Some other games also could be used as played because they could fit the story, and I didn't have to make any interventions. I also have to add that it was not my decision to use my own game against Veselin Topalov. The game that I played was black and won in 1995 as the substitute for a Moscow game, Live Harmon. That was Bruce's decision. Though, I have to say, I did not object. The first two games, best played against Borgov, I also could manage without any extra work. But I knew that for Moscow tournament, I would need to be exceptionally creative. First game, Harmon's game against former world champion Lutsenko. And it's based on a Grandmaster game, Arshak Petrosian versus Volodya Okopian, played in Yerevan 1988. But that was a great improvement on move 38. And it was a computer-designed line with a temporary rook sacrifice. I was very proud of having this game being designed to show highest possible quality by Bess Harmon, beating former Soviet world champion. And it was played brilliantly by the actors on stage. Lutsenko, quote-unquote, played by a local German chess player who definitely knew what was happening on the board. He resigned graciously, recognizing Bess's phenomenal achievement. But of course, no challenge could come close to the final game. And again, I had to follow the original plot, the narrative, but unfortunately, this narrative was not good enough to guarantee the quality of the game played against world champion. The game had to be adjourned. And the adjournment happened in a very unclear position. So I needed a game that would last 40 plus moves. And by the time it's adjourned, it needed enough pieces to keep this action going and to leave room for the call from New York with an advice from American team led by Benny that helped Beth to set up a trap that was missed by the Soviet team. And another problem, the opening. It had to be Queen's Gambit. How could we have the final game of the show named the Queen's Gambit without this game being played in the opening that carried the same name? I thought it would be a betrayal of Walter Tevis' idea, but following Walter Tevis' description of the game, following every letter, was impossible. Because on move two, he thought that Borgov would play a very sharp but hardly correct gambit, because he wanted to win at any cost. And I needed to deviate and just come up with something in the Queen's Gambit that would keep enough pieces aboard and would give us enough play during the adjournment. So I looked at a few options and I came up with an opening strategy, selecting a line that could have a semi-close position with enough pieces aboard in the middle game, and hope that I would find a game that might be good enough to become eventually the most televised game in the history of chess. My eventual choice was the game played by Vasily Ivanchuk, Ukrainian Grandmaster, and Patrick Wolf, an American Grandmaster. The game played in 1993 in the Interzonal Tournament. not a very eventful game, but somehow I felt that was the right choice because I saw enough pieces there, and I knew that if I bring computer at one point, maybe I'll create something there that will help me to keep the story intact. And the miracle happened. There was a line that was briefly mentioned in the commentary of the game that I could develop with the help of my associate by using a powerful chess engine that led to a situation where the advice from Benny and his team, deadly advice, could surprise Borgov. And it was almost as described in the book, with rook going on the side, and then the pawn attacking the rook, and then having the white passed pawn. So many of the components there, they actually worked very nicely. I couldn't believe my eyes when actually I saw this. And though I knew that the black position was pretty bad, it's machine would discover it fairly quickly, but it was the best one can get. And the final moments of the game, they were brilliantly played by Anya Taylor-Joy and Polish actor Marcin Dorochinski. I spoke to him after the show was already made, and he told me that the main component of his preparation for this role was watching my videos, the way I play chess, and he found it very instructive and tried to follow the original. Flattering, isn't it? And after the show was there and everybody talked about it, one day I got a message from Patrick Wolf asking how on earth, Gary, you could find this game. Not a big game, I already forgot about it. So I explained the rationale behind this search, and I guess Patrick was quite impressed. At the same time, Ukrainian television interviewed Vasily Ivanchuk asking about this game. Nobody got an idea to ask Stockfish, one of the co-creators of the game. So I hope now you have an idea about all this chess work behind the scene that helped to make the story about Beth Harmon, an orphan girl, chess prodigy from Kentucky, one of the greatest online blockbusters. Thanks for listening. I expect we will be talking about more chess from real people in the next episodes.